We're going to bring Jason Barrett on now. He is president of Barrett Sports Media. Jason, we'd like to know, what does ESPN eliminating 100 jobs say about the way the sports media business is going?
Well, I mean, first, you know, it's great to be with you guys. But, you know, look, what it tells me, you think about conveniently looking at the fact that on the day that we're celebrating, over 200 guys get a phone call from NFL executives to start their career and have the most incredible moment of their lives. You have the exact opposite in sports media circles where 100 people are losing work. And what it speaks to is that there are economic challenges in the broadcasting business on the television side that, you know, when you're at the table discussing the future of your play-by-play deals, it's easy to get blindsided and look at the here and now. And that's a lot of times when you're negotiating to retain important assets, as ESPN was doing with MLB and NBA and the NFL, they're looking at the here and now, but you also have to project the future. And in this case, clearly, they paid a heavy premium to keep those rights, and it's coming back to hurt them because now with the economic climate we're in and with people shifting their attention away from TV into digital spaces more, it's devalued some of their ability to monetize what they've got available on the television side. So right now, unfortunately, it has them back at the table trying to figure out how do they shed some costs to be able to remain profitable.
Jason, you've made decisions in the broadcasting business of who to keep and who to cut. How do you think ESPN went about it? Was it all on whose contract was up? Was it calculated what positions they don't think they're going to need as much in the future? How did they make their calls?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. You know, I think it all depends. Obviously, when you're under a mandate to eliminate a ton of revenue, you're not going to start at the bottom part looking at the cheaper options. You're going to look up top first. I think in this case, the one thing that really jumped out when you look at what they were trimming away is there were a lot of reporters and writers let go, which is kind of scary when you think about it, because what I took away from the names that I saw is they're devaluing some of the information and putting a lot more focus on the personality and the sizzle that they feel right now they can monetize better. You know, maybe there's a stronger demand for the Mike Olicks, the Bomani Jones, and the Stephen A. Smiths of the world versus the Ed Werders and Jason Starks. And so, you know, I'm sure looking at, like, in Ed Werders' case and Jason Starks' case, they're older guys who've been there for nearly two decades. They probably figure, hey, they're costly, and they're not going to be as productive the next 10 years as, you know, the cheaper option who's 35 years old and cost a third of the price. So I'm sure, you know, that not every person who was let go, though, was there for 20 years. So I'm sure it's a combination of a number of factors. But the be-all, end-all for me was just look at the names that are on the list. A lot of reporters, a lot of writers, and a couple of anchors. You know, outside of Danny Cannell, which was a pretty big one, and Trent Dilfer, which was another big one. You know, and even in Trent's case, they had other analysts all over. I mean, they last year when they brought on Woodson and Hasselbeck, Randy Moss, they were already strong there. So that was a luxury for them. But right now, it looks like reporting and, you know, and quality writing are kind of taking a back seat to the personality.
Jason Barrett joining us, president of Barrett Sports Media here on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket, taking a look at the sports media landscape. And you mentioned the reasons why cost-cutting has to become a thing and the problems that cable television is having in 2017 with the cord-cutting trend is certainly becoming more mainstream. So it's not just ESPN, but like, what are some of these other cable networks supposed to do with this trend of people not having cable anymore?
Well, you know, first of all, that's why whenever people bring up the ESPN Fox Sports 1 competition to me, the first thing I remind them is, first of all, look at what FS1 is paying for quality content. They're not in the same space with ESPN. They're not going to have the same audience as ESPN, but they also don't have the same amount of expenses as ESPN. They are focused right now on just building their infrastructure through programming, talk show programming. They haven't taken the big hit on play-by-play. what this reminds me of from the outside looking in is, think back to the way the newspaper business has changed. You know, everyone knew the newspaper business needed to move online. It's where people were shifting their attention and where they wanted to consume content. But when you start doing that, what happens? No longer are newspaper companies able to rely on the income that was coming their way every day when somebody spent money at a newsstand to pick up their product. And then all of a sudden the advertising shifts, and all of a sudden you were counting on selling out a full-page ad that no longer is worth it to the advertiser, who would rather spend a fraction of that for, you know, a third of it on your website. And so this is kind of where television is, and the fact is, we all still will watch ESPN. We will all still read and consume ESPN. Monetizing ESPN, though, on digital platforms is a lot more challenging than relying on the straight, you know, cable subscriber fee that they've been generating. So that's really what this is all about. When you start losing subscriber fees because people shed the cut the cord, the popular term that's caught on now and become part of our lingo for the last year, it's all about losing $7 a month and, you know, turning that into a digital user. Sure, maybe they make $1 or $1.50 off of that, but that's a lot of income that goes right out the door.
Jason Barrett joining us here on Idaho Sports Talk. He's the president of Barrett Sports Media. His website is sportsradiopd.com. Jason, a lot of this people have talked about is the rights fees that have gone up, up, and up. Do you see any of that changing with this? Will some of the leagues and conferences in college that are going to have rights fees up for grabs in the next 5 years, will they see their numbers go down?
That's the number one thing I'm interested in finding out, because right now if I'm ESPN, I'm sending a message to every one of my partners. Look at the bloodbath that took place in 2015, where over 300 people lost their jobs behind the scenes. Now look at this year, 100 people. And you go, at some point, we just can't keep throwing away silly money that we don't have. The bigger question from that standpoint is, will the Turner Sportses of the world, the Foxes, the CBSs, the NBCs, go to a level that ESPN won't be prepared to go to? Because, look, ESPN is paid the amount of money they paid for their NFL deal, I think, was a major mistake. Obviously, they didn't get a Super Bowl out of it. They're getting a lesser schedule on Monday night than many networks are getting on Sundays. And so they paid a heavy premium for that, and I think down the road, that has to come back. Like, there's a reason why these leagues are now dabbling in. You see the NFL cut a deal with Amazon, and they'll be able to remain very healthy, but they're going to have to do it through a couple of different channels. I can't see the next NFL deal with ESPN being $1.9 billion. I think that'd be insane. So I do think it'll have an effect. At how much, that'll be the question. And it also depends on, you know, right now we look at the landscape of CBS, Fox, NBC, ESPN, Turner, those groups. Who's to say that in 5 years when the deal's on the table, it's not Amazon, Google, and Facebook playing in that world? There's a lot of things that can change between now and then.
And that was the kind of the next point I wanted to bring up. And the NFL had their deal with Amazon in this offseason that they can have some of the rights to the Thursday games from the digital platform. How does that change the game with, you know, the recent context of ESPN having to lay off all those people? How does the digital world change how we either consume or how it could affect rights fees?
Oh, I think it absolutely is going to be, 50 million right now. Just look at what the NFL's done in the span of 2 years. Twitter last year paid 10. Amazon's now paying 50. And that won't go lower as we go forward. If anything, if it's generating interest, and when Twitter, you know, was quoted as saying that they made five times what they paid, believe me, Amazon was looking at that saying, we think we can do even more because we've got a wider net to cast. I think in the future, that's going to become a big deal. Look at what Netflix is paying for content. They just spent over $100 million to reunite the cast of The Godfather. Scarface. So, I mean, the Netflixes of the world, Apple, who has, you know, is reportedly over $100 billion at their disposal. I mean, these groups have been making a ton of cash. The only question's been how how committed and how serious are they about going into the sports space. But they start showing up at the table. If I'm Roger Goodell, if I'm, you know, Adam Silver, I'm making sure I get those guys involved in every conversation, because at some point I'm looking at my golden goose on television and going, that golden goose isn't so golden anymore.
Jason, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks for having me, guys.